Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. Jeremy Long here. You know, we've been chatting all episode about me and Amy's adventures in Southern Utah and the amazing time that we had at Uvland Escalante. And we enjoyed it so much that I felt compelled. I felt something in the ether. I needed to reach out to the CEO of Uvland Hotels at Escalante, Noah Ellis. Noah started in hospitality at just 13 years old, washing dishes, like we all do, in Buffalo, New York, then spent the next two decades working through restaurants and hospitality operations in Las Vegas and LA before moving into boutique hotels. And since then, he's overseen the growth and rebrand of Uvland Escalante in Southern Utah. And now, check this out. They got new properties in development near Zion National Park and in the Great Smoky Mountains, two of my favorite places, which, of course, hospitality naturally means he voluntarily chose a career where people will often email you at 3 a.m. because the fire pit felt emotionally distant. And you have to answer those questions for people and make it right. Hospitality is a beautiful industry. Noah, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Man, you know, for people hearing about Uvland Escalante for the first time, what exactly is this property? What exactly is this place?
So we like to think about ourselves just as a boutique hotel that happens to be kind of outdoor oriented. I mean, I think there's a lot of talk about, you know, glamping and landscape hotels and all this stuff. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's not our place to, you know, correct the verbiage or, you know, dictate the verbiage that our guests use. But we really sort of see a lot of parallels to boutique hotels from, you know, 25, 30 years ago, where it's very much a sense of place and it's kind of, you know, an inch wide, a mile deep. You're not offering everything to everyone, especially not at a mediocre level. We're going to focus on a handful of things that we think are really critical to the experience. And we're really going to do those as deeply and as thoughtfully and intentionally as we possibly can to execute, you know, a great guest experience. This hotel has iterated since we opened in March of 2021. It sort of started as a more upscale RV park that had this glamping component. And, you know, over time, our thesis has changed. And as the sort of hotel glamping component really punched above its weight and the RV component didn't, we realized people really love this kind of hotel experience where they don't have to bring an RV. They don't have to camp. They get air conditioning and showers and, you know, all of the amenities you'd expect and safety you'd expect from a hotel. But they get access to, and they're in the outdoors and, you know, Southern Utah, all of Utah is just absolutely gorgeous. But Southern Utah is really, I think, really, really, really something special. I mean, just the drive from, you know, Las Vegas, and you see, depending on which route you take, you see sort of like four totally different planets almost. And there's something really special about that journey and then arriving there. And, you know, it's such a great base camp for Bryce Canyon National Park, you know, Capitol Reef National Park, all the state parks. And then we're in the monument, which is, you know, over 1 million acres and just full of hiking trails and great, you know, great things to do.
Now you mentioned some of the verbiage. If you go to the Uvland website, you know, if it's OFLAND.com, you can check it out for yourself. I did notice, I mean, some people might classify this as a little glamping or maybe an upscale camping experience or something of that nature, but you guys tried to avoid those words. Is glamping and all that, is that a dirty word for you, or is it just kind of just one of those things?
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I think, you know, I think there's a couple things. Glamping, you know, to me and to us, people really think about glamping as being kind of about the structure you're staying in, you know, be it a tent, you know, one of those geodesic domes, a yurt, a treehouse. And we have the vintage Airstreams there that have been refurbished. We have the tiny cabins, but, you know, to us, the experience is really so much more than that, or really not about that at all, right? We want to make sure that the structure you stay in fits the property and fits the land and the site, you know, hence the name Uvland. But it's really, you know, it's a hotel. There's a front desk. You check in. There are kind of amenities you're taking care of. There's housekeeping. There's a key to your door. There are people to help you. So we don't mind. I mean, you know, like, I don't want to say the elevator pitch, but I meet someone and they kind of ask what I do. And it's like, hey, we have these outdoor hotels, and they like look at me confused. I'm like, yeah, it's glamping. Right? Basically glamping. I'm like, oh, I got it. And then I think to myself, why am I such an idiot? But you know, swimming upstream being the fun hobby that it is, here we are.
Absolutely. Now for people who may not know what we're talking about, in Southern Utah, there's a bunch of little small towns along the scenic Byway 12 that kind of sits almost halfway, the halfway point between Capitol Reef National Park and Bryce Canyon National Park. So Escalante, I wouldn't say it's a little very, very small town, very, you know, very tiny, but I wouldn't say it's the middle of nowhere, but it's pretty adjacent to the middle of nowhere. So when you guys came across, or when you came across this property, and it's already kind of sitting out there, what made you think, yeah, a place like this, I think something, this elevated experience, this boutique experience will work out here?
So the development of that property actually preceded me, so I can't take any credit for anything. But, you know, the really interesting thing about that property was the drive-in movie theater was at some point long ago before, you know, certainly before us, was really truly a drive-in movie theater for the town. And I think there was, you know, that has become one of the major attractions for us as well. But, you know, it really played kind of a role in the community. And the thought was that, especially when we were thinking more RV park originally, is, you know, you phrased it well, middle of nowhere adjacent, is those are great stopping points and great base camps if you have your own kind of room on wheels. Right. So that location made a ton of sense, and it's absolutely, you know, absolutely stunning. The park itself had, you know, incredible bones. And so, you know, it made sense. We've learned a lot from that. The next locations are, I think, directly closer to one single point of demand, you know, so like the Great Smoky Mountains were in Townsend, Tennessee, which is, you know, we're about 5 minutes from one of the entrances. And in Zion, you know, we're maybe 20 minutes from the East Gate, or the site we're working on is. And so, you know, the cool thing about Escalante is it's in the middle of nowhere near all of these things. Sort of the downside is it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it's not adjacent to any one of these major attractions, which, you know, you've got to be committed to go there. It's not a, you know, I leave on Friday after work sort of thing, like, you know, maybe Palm Springs or Joshua Tree could be.
Right. Right. So when you have friends visit the area for the first time, where do you usually tell them to go first? What's the things at the top of the list? Like, hey, you can't miss this, this, and this.
I have friends.
I'm making a big assumption there, man.
Wow. Okay. Hypothetically, I really think some of the greatest hits, you know, I love, especially in summer, I love Lower Calf Creek Falls. I think the hike's a little kind of arduous in that it's kind of a sandy grind, but it's sort of the perfect kind of picnic. You know, you hit the 3 miles, you get into water that's way too cold, you feel refreshed, you eat a little something, you hike back. I think honestly doing the drive there is really terrific. You know, there's like this moment on that drive where all of the sudden the landscape totally changes yet again. And it's kind of like being on the moon. And that's really, really neat. Kiva Coffee, if you're not feeling the hike, is just absolute. I mean, that's gotta be like one of the most beautiful coffee shops.
Absolutely.
Right. Like you know, I talked to my friends in hospitality who've been there, and you know, our thing is just like, you know, if you were trying to do like a 3 Michelin star coffee shop or whatever, like there would be no better location to pick it, to drop it than literally what they've got there. And they do an amazing job. You know, I think in town, you got to eat pizza at Outfitters. I think that's really important. There's great hikes at Kodachrome. You know, really, I mean, to me, it really depends on, are you thinking more about driving? Are you thinking more about hiking? What do you want to see? Or like kind of what's your adventure threshold? And then, how many days do you have is really the question. Cause the really cool thing about that, our location is, I mean, I want to say if you spent a week with us, you could do something very different, one or two hikes a day for an entire week. And really, I don't think feel, you know, you'd be tired, but I don't think you'd be bored at any point.
You know, I think it's pretty telling. You mentioned a lot of these local companies and things that are in the area. Independently, when we were out on the trails and we were out, you know, we were at Kiva Coffee and a number of these places, and they always kind of did what you just did. They brought up, hey, have you guys been to the place with the drive-in movie theater where you can just go and watch movies and all of that? So, you know, we spent this time on the trails and with like Rome Outdoor Adventure Company, we went on UTV rides, wonderful place. How important, I guess, are these kind of local partnerships, or at least these friendships with other companies, especially kind of in these areas where you're all kind of survive in the same ecosystem when you're building out properties like this?
I think it's really critical, you know, I mean, and, you know, I think it's the right thing to do and it's terrific, but pragmatically, it's also just absolutely critical for running a business because, you know, if the town isn't there and there aren't these options, we've got to, at least to some degree, supplement that, right? So like if you're in the middle of nowhere and there is no UTV or ATV rental company, there is no tour guide, there is no good food and beverage, there's no coffee. That's all stuff that we've got to do on property ourselves. I mean, you know, maybe not to the same level, but, you know, to some degree you can be as boutique, you know, boutique hotels in the city to sort of come full circle work because you're in the city, right? Like they don't need the world's best coffee bar in the lobby because there's probably great third wave coffee within, you know, 50 feet.
Right.
And, you know, you can extrapolate that out to food and beverage and bars and retail and all those things. When you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, it's, you know, there are certain needs that guests have. And if you're going to spend, say, 4 days on property, you're going to want to eat something other than what we provide, right? And so if those options don't exist, now we've got to build them out. And that gets expensive in a way that doesn't necessarily provide value to the guests, right? The issue isn't that like we make less money. The real issue is that not all of the guests, you know, the more things you have, the less of them any individual guest is going to use. It's sort of that 80-20 rule. And so all of a sudden our costs go up, our room rates go up, but the room is functionally the same. There's just a lot of other stuff on property that people may or may not use. So, you know, it's like good business to do this. And then it's also doing the right thing. And I think, you know, you can sort of like do good and do well. And I think we all kind of function in that world. Same thing. If we're not out there and you're running Rome, you know, Travel Adventure, then all of a sudden, now there are 52 rooms less per night in season who are there to potentially support you. And the same thing with, you know, Kiva or Escalante Outfitters, right? All of those, you know, it's synergistic, not from a, you know, big C community kind of way, but just from a community, right? Like it's, we're part of the town. So we want to make sure that wherever we open, I mean, we're at least cognizant of what there is or isn't. And then there's a degree to which we have to supplement it. And the better kind of equipped the area is, the less we need to do, which really lets us focus on just making people happy on property, which is actually, you know, the business we're in.
You know, speaking of being happy on property, you guys have this amazing food truck, like you talk about supplementing and having meals readily available and everything. There is this meatloaf patty melt sandwich in your food truck that I would die for right now. If you let me, I'll sacrifice myself and just eat them until I explode, man. They're so good.
Yeah. I mean, so our culinary director, Allie Rohrbacher, is, I think, one of the reasons we work well together. She's just like fanatical about, you know, quality and experience and consistency, and really like nothing that she does is an accident, and nothing that you taste, that, you know, you're not tasting the first or second iteration. It's not like, yeah, the sandwich is pretty good, like it's ready to go. That was probably, you know, I don't want to put words in her mouth. I would guess what you ate was like the 50th or 60th iteration of that. And, you know, she's obsessive. And again, because we don't do a gazillion things, it kind of allows the team to really, you know, focus and be just dogged in the pursuit of quality and making people happy around, you know, any given thing that we do, whatever it is, physical or otherwise.
Now, with the, I guess, success you guys are having, what do you think travelers are looking for now that maybe traditional hotels and camping experiences alone weren't really giving them, that this is something that is kind of popping up and people are coming by and they're like, oh man, it's word of mouth. And it's, man, we're having such an amazing time here, you know, where you guys kind of filled in the gaps.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to like disparage anything that anyone is doing. I think, you know, there are a million ways to skin the cat, right? I think, you know, for us, the real testament is, or, you know, I guess barometer, right? To some degree, it's been a testament so far and we're still working on it, is do people want to come back and stay with us again? Because, you know, one, the United States is just stunning. I mean, there is so much beautiful nature in the U.S., you know, starting with the national parks and ending with just random beautiful places that are scattered throughout the, you know, the entire country, I mean, not just the continental U.S. And so there's no, if you are sort of an adventure traveler, a bucket list traveler, whatever you want to call it, you know, there's really very little incentive to go back to the same place again, when, you know, you can just go see something new. And I think, you know, then you layer on this like hotel or hospitality component. And if you go to a really cool place and the hotel is fine or really interesting, but, you know, there's a big difference between like interesting and comfortable or interest. There's, you know, things that are make you think and things that make you happy. Right. And, you know, we try to be at the latter side of that. You know, you might say like, this was a really great experience. I'm so glad I did it. I don't know if I'm going to go back or I'm going to move on to the next thing. And for us, the goal is, you know, can the hospitality experience be good enough where you want to actually come back? You know, it's okay. Sure. I could go to Zion next time. I could go to the Grand Canyon or I could go to Flagstaff or Sedona. I mean, if you're coming from say the Vegas market, right. Or Joshua Tree, I have all these options, but there was, and in almost all those options, there's more to do than you can accomplish in one trip. But, you know, it's, we've got all these options in Southern Utah, and also the hotel was really great. And, you know, in a lot of these properties, there aren't, or a lot of these locations, there's not necessarily great hospitality options, right? I mean, they're rural. It's hard to do business there. So there's, you know, maybe one or two, you know, some have more that are a little bit more commercial. But, you know, I think the real key for us is like, you just have to make people happy. Like every guest should leave happier than when they arrived. And, you know, it's kind of one of those simple but not easy things, but we're just focused on that. You know, we have an awesome team out there. And, you know, my sort of continuous directive, or some might say nagging, you know, message is just make people happy. Just like do the right thing to make people happy.
Well, I think I read somewhere part of your personal philosophy, and I'm going to paraphrase it here, to do fewer things well. And how does something like that show up in that guest experience and what you were kind of just talking about?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, you've got like, we all have some amount of bandwidth, right? And it's kind of different for everybody, but you know, I mean, there's the amount of time you got, the physical energy, but like, there's only so much stuff you can kind of like really care about, especially like, you know, the overwrought mission statements where, you know, you've got like 10 first priorities, like that's kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, you know, especially sort of the line level team that does all of the work day to day, you know, they can focus on one first priority and one second priority and one third priority. And, you know, you got to layer it. And so, you know, it's like, we don't have stayover service right now. If you want it, or you're staying for a few nights and you want your bed made or clean sheets or whatever, like, of course we're happy to do that. Just ask, but we don't default into this. We don't default into room service, right? I mean, we don't serve lunch. We've got grab and go options. You know, all we have is the food truck. There's no white tablecloth restaurant or no sit down restaurant. You know, there's no spa that we run, right? I mean, like fundamentally, it's like a fairly simple operation in terms of the scope. You know, it's like if you compared us to a 4-star hotel in like, I don't know, Manhattan, and you're like, you know, you go to those hotels and there's the binder, like literally the binder. I mean, now it's maybe a QR code, but I remember, you know, you flip and it's like, okay, here's all of the dining options. Here's all of the banquet rooms and conference rooms. You know, here's the spa. Here's the dry cleaning and laundry. Here's the fitness center, the business center. And then you get into the room service menu and then whatever else. And it's like, you know, you look at us, it's like, we've got a food truck. We got a drive-in movie theater that just kind of run, you know, does its thing. We got the general store, which is part of the lobby and check-in experience. and we've got a pool and a hot tub, and that's basically it. And then you've got, you know, a million acres of Mother Nature.
Right.
Right. And so just the real thing is like the human in front of you, just like make them happy, be empathetic, understand where they're coming from, you know, what they're looking for, and just lean into that.
Now, you guys know the area pretty well. You've been up and running, and you know, we've talked at length about the different things and experiences, but everything. But when do you think that area of Southern Utah is at its best? Is there a time of the year? Is there a certain like day or itinerary where you're looking from morning to night? This is like the perfect way to experience Southern Utah in this kind of area that we're ensconced in.
Yeah, I think, it depends on where you're coming from. You know, that actually does make a big difference, right? If you're coming from Salt Lake in the north or a cooler climate, then, you know, summer is like the middle of summer is definitely less ideal, right? Because you're running into the heat. If you're coming from Las Vegas or Phoenix, you know, the heat's not as bad. I think May is really, really beautiful. I think the weather's kind of perfect, right? I mean, because you're at altitude. So, the sun hits you pretty hard. So I love May. I really love September though. Like I think late September is just absolutely stunning where you start moving into fall. The days are still nice and warm. The nights are cool. Kind of every hike in the world is available to you. It follows, you know, what's kind of monsoon season, which is in August. So everything kind of, you know, you're transitioning into fall, but also everything is lush and green and, you know, there's all this like life to that part of the world. So that to me, like late September, I think mid to late September is about as good as it gets there for me coming from Las Vegas.
I love it, man. And I'll even say something, I guess those shoulder seasons, we visited late April and it was just perfect.
Yes.
You know, hitting the Mossy Cave Trail and hitting Lower Calf Creek and all of the, I mean, it was good weather without being overbearing. And we know we're both in Vegas, so we know what that overbearing sun is. So it was just about perfect, man. Those shoulder seasons, you hit the nail right on the head.
100%. But then, you know, the great thing is if you're coming from Las Vegas, Phoenix, the high desert, it's, you know, sure, it might be 95 during the day in Southern Utah, but it's, you know, you're coming from where it's 115. And the evenings are down to 75 and absolutely beautiful. So it's a great, strangely, it's like this awesome. I mean, if you're not going to the beach in the middle of summer, it's this like really great high desert getaway from the desert in a way. So, you know, August for me is kind of cool like that because, you know, 4.5 hours, you get in the car 4.5 hours later, it's so much more tolerable, but still bright and sunny. And, you know, it's not that different climate wise, right? It's still very doable.
I think one of the big things that you don't hear too much about that we kind of rediscovered while we were there were the dark skies, how at night it just turns into like a totally different world because you can see the entire universe and the moon is so bright. I'm telling Amy and I, we got up one night because the moon was so bright. I thought there was a light outside of our thing that I forgot to turn off. I open it up and it's the moon. It's amazing how clear the skies are in that part of the country.
It is. And when there's no moon, it's absolutely insane. I mean, you know, with the naked eye, like what you're seeing, you know, it's like when I was a kid going to the planetarium and it's like with the naked eye, you're seeing everything. Like it is so, so, so stunning, you know, there. And I mean, there's a handful of spots in the US that are like that, but that is certainly one. I mean, at that elevation with the clear sky and with like no light pollution, it's just, it's insane what you can see with your naked eye.
Before we wrap it up, you know, looking at Upland Escalante, has there been anything or maybe there's a couple of things that you hear from guests personally that they're like, this is keeping me coming back, or I love this or something like that, that we could share with people and say, you don't want to miss X when you come here to our property or maybe it ties into the surrounding area.
Yeah. I mean, look, physically, I think they love the drive-in. I think the outdoor showers are one of those, interesting things where it's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to love this. And then people absolutely tend to, like there's private outdoor shower is especially totally open air is like kind of one of the coolest experiences ever, I think. But, to be totally honest, we do follow up guest surveys and we talk to people, and the thing that keeps people coming back and, the thread that runs through all of it is just how great the team is. And, we have amazing leadership there. Allie Hurst, our general manager there, is just doing a really exceptional job, hiring and training and leading, the managers, the supervisors, and all the way down to the staff who does all the work, and really engages with our guests on a day-to-day basis. And that's, I think, really our superpower, right? Because there's so much talk about, scale and AI and like all this stuff. And it's like, we run a hotel, like you got to make the beds, right? You got to check people in. If you're working in food and beverage, like you're cutting onions, you're cleaning dishes. Like this is the business. It is a lot of work, and to do hard physical work and at the same in a really remote area where the odds are stacked against you, you're not in this like big building with a gazillion engineers and, this like huge air conditioning system and all these, you're not in a bubble. And to be able to deal with that and execute physically well, and at the same time, just be friendly and warm and hospitable and take care of people is such a challenge. And, I think just we have this commitment to doing that, that the team there, just they knock it out of the park. And so I kind of, as cheesy as that is, I think the thing that keeps people coming back, they mention kind of some of the physical aspects and the location, anything you can touch or see, but I think it's really the job the team does taking care of them. That is the consistent refrain I hear.
I love that you highlight your people, people, especially in hospitality, like you said, they make or break an experience from beginning to end. And, so that's so great to hear. And I will go back to what you said at the beginning, the outdoor showers. Let me tell you, so that's world changing right there. Cause I was hesitant. Yes. And then I grabbed a beer and I walked out to the outdoor shower.
And I had outdoor shower beer is a strong play. I love that.
The outdoor shower beer will change your life physically, spiritually, emotionally. I came back a different person. So, for people that want to follow along on and check out the property, either on social media or online and go ahead and book their rooms, how can they find you guys?
So the website is ofland.com, OFLAND.com. And then social media, we're at Ofland Hotels, OFLAND Hotels.
Noah, thank you so much for your time, man. I know you're super busy, especially with all these properties in development and getting up and going. So, for you to make time, I really do appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for taking the time to get up there and experience it. It's not, it's a beautiful drive, but it's not nothing, right? I mean, it's a commitment. Right. So we're so happy you went.
Absolutely, man. And if nothing for that outdoor shower, I would do it every weekend.
Cup holders are going in the showers. That's like that's the new move, right? Like cup holders.
Courtesy of the Unscale Travel Show, we got you guys those shower cup holders. That's on Jeremy.